Here, the old gods are dead.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, this is the Creepy Bee Podcast. I'm Rebecca with Holly.
Hi.
Holly, do you want to tell folk how we ken each other?
Well, it goes back to probably, it was like my first job in McDonald's, and I met Rebecca in the trenches. We worked there for a few years together, and then I think we kind of scattered. I can't remember where else we went to work, but then we reunited again and we're working at Nando's together. We love the hospitality vibes, just couldn't keep away. So that was that.
And now you're a big, big fan of my podcast.
Oh, I'm actually very excited to be here on the Creepy Wee Pod. Massive fan. Fangirling usually over here. Ecstatic to be here.
So the day we're going to be doing... Well, we are starting a new series. Liam will be back to pick it up when he's back on our area of expertise, which is local ghost stories, but in Fife in particular. Before we start, I do hear a note from Liam to say a very happy birthday to Sean. May the fourth be with you.
Happy birthday, Sean.
And then he said, may the fourth be with you, because I think this episode comes out of Star Wars, which is what a... Well, to be fair, Liam said, may the fourth be with you, and then I immediately went, and with you also, like in a kind of Catholic kind of way. But... So, to start off this episode, I am going to tell you a creepy story about where I grew up, and I'll finally just dox myself and get it out of the way. I grew up in a tiny wee village in Fife, which is an ex-coal mining town called Lumphinnans. First ever socialist seat in Scotland, by the way.
We've got a
street called Gagarin Way after Yuri Gagarin.
No chance. You learn something new every day, by the way. I did not get socialist vibes till I'm finished, but
there's like even a play about the like socialist movement in Scotland called Gagarin Way that it's like it's got like the Gagarin Way street sign on it. And my sister, they used to live across from a theatre in Dundee. And one day they opened their blinds and there was just like the big Gagarin Way sign. And they sent me it and they were like, sorry, I'm not trying more about what the fuck is this?
That's hilarious.
So, but this place, like, I did like have a very, very fun time growing up there. I didn't live there though, but there was like a pond that was like down the road for us. Like, it was across the train tracks and through some fields. And it was an old open cast mine that had been filled up with water. And I think I've spoken about this on the podcast before, but the vibes in this place were absolutely horrific. Like, you knew as soon as you went, like, there was like a wee tiny farm road that went down there. And you knew as soon as you were getting closer to it, like, the vibes, like, my ears would ring and stuff, which is what happens to me when I, like, when I see ghosts, my ears ring. Because I'm psychic. I'm being serious. And, but... This, like, folk used to, like, drown their dogs there or any other animals that they didn't want. I'm pretty sure at one point it was, like, frozen over and, like, two bairns were, like, ice skating on it in the, like, 60s or 70s and the ice gave way and they drowned and stuff. Like, very horrible, like, you can't, bad things had happened there. But when we were wee, me and my wee gang of pals, we got told about a ghost called the White Lady, which, very common. Like, I think everywhere on earth has a white lady. There's also one in Blingary, I believe. My mum told me that. She was like, oh, you going to talk about the Blingary white lady? And I was like, no, I'm talking about the Lumpinins, man.
Sorry
for the confusion. But basically, the story goes, at 10 past 12 every night when the train goes across the train tracks, this ghost appears, this white lady, and she wails and she howls and stuff like that. Because apparently she was, like, a jilted lover and she must have been cheated on or something like that. So she went to the pond and she killed herself.
God, sis.
He's no worth it.
I feel
it.
Like that's how
scrum.
It always starts, do you know, Hank? So it's like, come on, when are we taking him down the pond to drown him? Instead of yourself. She's probably in white as well because it's like her mum's wedding dress or something, corpse bride.
It is. That is because we used to be like, we used to make up some amount of shite. Like, we just took it and, like, ran with it. And I'm pretty sure, like, my pal Chelsea was like, aye, and it was her wedding dress. And Ken, she hung up.
She's had like, your arms and legs with you.
Aye, and we'd be like, aye, totally. And we'd be like shaking and that. Like, she couldn't get to sleep at night. Like, my sister could not sleep because she was like constantly thinking about this ghost.
The white lady.
I mind one time, too, we were out the back on my trampoline and it had one of the big tents on it. And we were all camping, so it was me and my sister and a few of my pals, and we were up all night, and we were like, all night, it was probably like 10 past 10 or something like that, and we were talking about the White Lady, and we shut ourselves that much that we all had to run into the house, and we just slept in the living room instead.
To be fair though, like, how many times, I even do that now, like, I'll be sitting myself and I'll be thinking like, oh, like, somebody's in the mirror or something like that. I'm like, oh, look, you know what I mean?
I do that at night.
Oh, so do I, 100%. I'll just scare myself shitless.
To be fair, speaking about how we used to work at Nando's, I mind them and talking about ghosts and mirrors. I had a dream once, and it was when I worked at Nando's. And sometimes when I'm... This is actually going to make me sound psycho. But so I was having a dream that it was like... You were there. You were in it. It was like the lassies. It was the lassies for Nando's and me. And we were like running away from something, and it was like this big like Inception noise, like and that kind of thing, like
the
horror film noise.
The receipt printer.
The receipt printer. And I think we must have been in the restaurant because there was like a big mirror in the corner. So it was like us, like stood like the Scooby-Doo gang. And I was like, tease, I was like, Denny, look in that mirror. I'm the only person that can handle this. And it was like, you saw ran, and there was like a demon in the mirror, and I had to like face off with it. And then I like, in my dream, like my voice came like Air Tanoi style and was like, Rebecca, wake up, there's something in your room. And then like, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. So I woke up in my bed and this noise is like happening again, and I like look in my mirror and the Nando's demon was in
no,
my mirror in my room.
Aye,
and I saved
up.
You all.
Dude, I'm gonna say
Dennis
been dragging me into this in your dreams. I've got to sleep the night you're scared to go out looking at my fucking mirror wardrobes. I'm like,
so aye, that's how I saved you for a demon.
So,
I just took it on. I just took it on.
Oh, wait, I'll speak to the white lady one day for you if I ever see her.
If you're ever
done
Lumpinins.
If I'm ever done Lumpinins, I'll be looking for
her. Right, we'll take a wee break and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some real...
some real
ghost stories.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So, I found an absolute gold mine of source thanks to a suggestion for your pal, Cammy, who told me that the Alhambra Theatre in Dunfermline is famously haunted. So, my main source is a paranormal investigation conducted by the Ghost Club, who I thought were a self-proclaimed as the world's oldest organisation associated with physical research, established in 1862. Now, I googled it. They actually are the oldest, like, association, because I'm pretty sure Arthur Conan Doyle was, like, a part of the Ghost Club. Him and his wife were, like, massive spiritualists, so they joined up this club, and I think they're the ones that kind of made it famous. I think they got Houdini involved, but he didn't really buy into everything that they were doing.
He went solo. He had the solo career that took off, so he left the Ghost Club behind.
He had other shit going on. He was booked and busy.
He was literally the Robbie Williams, the Ghost Club.
So, at the time of this investigation, which was in 2009, so I was probably just starting high school at this point, the Alhambra had just reopened as a theatre once again after it had served the public for many years as a Carlton bingo.
I mean, so, ghost ghouls and the fucking... All the entertainment you could shake a stick at, why would it
though
be the Carlton Bingo?
Again. So, the Alhambra Theatre opened in the early 1920s, and since its opening, it has obviously been a bingo hall, a variety theatre, and a cinema, and presently it's a theatre again after it was refurbished in 2009. The Ghost Club say, and I quote, "Since the 1930s, there have been reports of three alleged ghosts which are believed to haunt the building. Over the years, there have been many reports in the Dunfermline newspapers about ghostly apparitions. During the cinema and bingo years, staff reported many strange occurrences, and there have been a number of witness testimonies to the alleged activity." This team is very much most haunted. I didn't see any written record of them all being psychic, but you'll see it as I go on, because I've done this, like, word for word of their whole report, their scientific research, and it seems like all of them have some kind of psychic ability.
I've read it, I know, and it's like every single one of them has a sense or a feeling. I'm like, that's what I got as well, that they were all, they've all got the gift basically, because they were all sensing a lot.
it's kind of like one of them, something happens to one of them and the other one, like, 5 minutes later has to be like, oh no, wait, no, I hear something as well. I've got a feeling. So the team is made up of a mother and son duo called Lynn and Greg Robertson, Joan and Derek Green, who I assume are husband and wife, but I can't be sure, a woman called Lisa, and then a few other people. There's quite a big team. They've got it written down in, like, military time, everything that they encounter, and I've got some of the best snippets here. So, Lynn Robertson, 1500 hours. Lynn was standing in the grand circle on stage left, and she looked across to the upper box on stage right and could see a mist forming. The mist started to spread and come down and cover the box. As this was happening, Lynn was sensing a female presence. Greg Robertson, 1510 hours. Greg was looking at the same box, unaware of what his mother had seen. Greg noted what looked like a mist falling in the same area. The two investigators made separate notes. I like this because it's camp, but like, like, see when I was younger, me and my sister, we like years in advance said, because we're twins, we were like, right, if anybody ever asks if we hate twin telepathy, this is what we're gonna say.
That's
and
brilliant.
years later, when we were in primary school, the day eventually came and we fooled their whole primary class by just bullshitting it. And I just feel like they've done something similar.
Like we decide to know if anybody asks, this is what they would go to. Like it feels like, aye. See what I'm thinking, you're like, fucking, there's a messed up there.
it does get better though. So 50 minutes later, Lynn is speaking to one of the Alhambra stewards in the group. As Lynn was standing and looking up at the same box, she became aware that the inside decor of the box had gradually changed. So it looks
that,
like Lynn? The. Well, she doesn't explain, but my feeling is that it's changed, so it's almost like a time slip. So it's went back to the 1920s or something like that. But like, I've been to the Alhambra since it's been refurbished, and the whole place is done up in like 1920s decor. I don't know how far back in time it could have went. At 20 to 6, Lynn's sitting in the middle of the stage and feels a presence to the left side and felt that it was female. Lynn described the clothing that she was wearing as an off-the-shoulder, low-cut dress, and the lady was wearing a diamante pendant around her neck.
Girl.
Get it.
Yeah.
Get it, girl. Honestly, Lynn has a lot to say. Like, I had to cut Lynn's parts down because she was just saying anything and everything. Like, it really does, like, the website looks like what you think it would look like. It's like black website, green text. Okay. There's orbs
so
everywhere.
Funny. Just for the taking them clout, it's
ghostclub.org.uk.
Check them out.
to be fair, when I do open my website like that, I'm like, brilliant. There's going to be some great
like,
content
there is
in
something
here.
Juicy right in here.
So, in at 6:15, Greg, Lynn's son, is looking to the top left-hand side of the circle. With the naked eye, he catches small lights of orbs in appearance coming down for the, like, so the circle's like the big row of seats that's like on the top level of the theatre. He sees loads of orbs, and there's actually some photographic evidence of this. I'll put them on Instagram. So whilst all this is going on, another investigator encounters a full apparition of a spirit. Lisa's in the green room tuning in, which I think she means like psychically tuning into that room. She sensed a male presence aged about in his 30s with a beige check type waistcoat, with a white shirt with rolled up sleeves, dark brown trousers and a dark brown bowler hat. Lisa then picked up the name Albert, because she had to get in on this, Albert Finnegan, and the word manager. So this ghost must be the manager, Albert Finnegan.
I'm going to say he's the manager.
I'm getting manager. And Lisa then asked the presence if he was Mr. Finnegan, and he replied insatiably that he was Albert. So he doesn't like... Even though he's a manager,
so he's
doesn't
not
care for
he's
formal.
He's not a regular manager, he's a cool manager.
He's a cool manager. He doesn't care for formalities and all that shit. Here comes the best bit, in my opinion. The team's version of Derek Okora and the most haunted kind of style that we've got going on is also named Derek. And Derek is talking to Joan, who I think is his wife. And Joan's looking out into the auditorium, and she notices a black flowing figure seemingly floating across the stage from left to the right. And the figure was positioned about the third row, and Joan noted it quietly saying nothing. That's what she wrote in her notes. She was like, oh, it just quietly said nothing. I'm like, what? I'm like, okay. Maybe literacy wasn't like on the top of her mind. Right. So whilst Lynn is sitting on the stage, Derek senses an argument has taken place between the ghosts. He said that it had started in the stage right wings, and then it had carried on backstage, and he had sensed that the woman with the dark hair arguing with a man, and that she was wearing lavender. That's what he could smell. I think he means like perfume. And that she would wear a freshly cut single rose every time she was on stage, and that her heart had been broken by an incident at the Alhambra Theatre. He got that all in 1 minute. Like,
it's amazing.
I love this.
It is, it's brilliant.
So, at 20:07 PM, Joan starts using a pendulum to connect with the spirits of the theatre.
Yes,
Holly, do you want to go through what happens with the pendulum?
So I'll take over, I'll set the scene. So the group at this point have then gathered in the actor's box and they've decided, right, so they've kind of said, right, this is yes, this is no, Joan's got her pendulum. And they start asking this girl questions. Well, already they've kind of said already that they think she's a girl. And the first question is, are you male? And she comes back powerfully, the pendulum, no. Ooh, are you female? They then go on to ask. It's the yes. But Marco, this is what it says in the notes here, that Marco has been sensing a woman for a period of time after she's just confirmed she's a woman. But anyway, do you visit the theatre as a patron? No. As a performer? The answer is then yes. The pendulum started to speed up. They then asked, did you lose your life here? The pendulum started moving faster. Yes. Was your death an accident? Yes.
The group well, that's anticlimactic.
I know, yes. The group then asked, were you alone when this happened? The pendulum then swung to no. And then they started just randomly picking out, like, out of thin air. Like, I'd be thinking, right, like, were you alone? And they said no, right? You're in the middle of the Alhambra Theatre. I don't know off the top of my head, like, how many seats there are in there, but I'd be thinking, like, oh, there's going to be, like, loads of people. Maybe that was, like, a crowd stampede or something. I don't know. But they pick out of thin air that, like, were there three people with you? And the pendulum then swings to no. Were there four? No. Then they kind of go back down to, they say, were there two people with you? And they say, she confirms, yes. And they ask, was it a male? And she confirms, yes. And they ask, did you know this person well? The pendulum starts then moving again very powerfully in the direction of yes. They then asked, was this man involved with your death? And then the pendulum starts going powerfully crazy, moving towards yes. And then again, it gets a wee bit anticlimactic as well. And they ask if the man was close to her, and she said no. And they say, were you having a difference of opinion and no movement? So you can tell she's already pissed off. Like, it's been years, probably, and she's not getting involved any longer. And they ask again, did this man touch you? And the pendulum moved over to yes. And
what the fuck?
I know.
What are these questions?
Like, the thing is, like the chronological order of them is literally so random. I'm like, where are you putting, like... Like, I feel like because it's the group of them, they're probably shouting out questions. Like, I can see Joan with the pendulum and, like, the mum and the son screaming at you. Like, they're all just gone hell for leather at this point. It's like one of the scenes in The Crucible. This is what I'm getting. Just chaotic. And, anyway. So she's not saying she's had a difference in her opinion yet. They asked, did the man frighten her? And she said, yes, powerfully. The pendulum's moving. And then next thing you know, Marco, he's saying, what does the first name begin, your first name begin with, sorry. And then he's sensing the initial C or D. And Joan, here she is, she starts reciting the alphabet. And when, thank God we only get to C when the pendulum starts moving again. So they say, is it Chris? Is your name Chris? No, the pendulum swings to no. Christina? And yep, that's it. The pendulum's moving to yes, we've got it. Her
wow,
name is
Christina.
And within two, from Chris, we went straight from Chris to Christina and we've got her. And they then go on to ask, were you performing at the theatre at the time? Oh, so she was a performer. Yes, mm-hmm. She says, yes. Were you British? They then went on to ask. She confirmed, no. They just went through a lot of nationalities. They say, were you Italian? And there is another powerful movement there, yes. So we've got that Christina was a performer. She died as a performer in the Alhambra and she was Italian. Like, it drags it again a wee bit. It's like a fucking guessing game at this point. I'm going to ask you for a year.
Guess who, we're
literally it's like 21 questions. Christina's like, right, I fucking had enough of this. But so basically they fire through all the 1920s years and we get to 1925 at the movements, and they asked, did something happen in 1925? Was it the summertime? She says yes. And then they say, was it June, July, was it August? No. She says September, yes, which I would say is autumn, but anyway. Maybe the Italian summer, we don't know. It was maybe September, the weather's probably still nice there at that time. And then they just confirm again, was it September 1925? And she says yes. And then the group, this is quoting, this isn't me. The group then all witnessed a cold spot at the front of the box. Photographs were taken and one revealed a very large orb, which is obviously we're thinking to be Christina here at this time.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then they go on to ask like if she was an actress, which she confirms, and they asked if she sings, which she also confirmed. And they said, did you sing opera? And again, powerfully, it starts moving to yes. Then go on to ask, again, it just randomly segue into, did you fall from where you're an opera singer? And the pendulum doesn't move. And they ask if she stepped backwards and if she fell over the side of the box, which she replied, yes. So Christina, the Italian opera singer, has stepped backwards and fell off the box while performing at the Alhambra in September 1925.
I did try and research, because like obviously the bit with the pendulum, like they're really riding on that. I just really fear that they should have had like mayhaps a Ouija board or something.
Oh, literally they should have. Like I feel like they should have at least thought of their questions again. Like as I said earlier, I feel like they were all just shouting out randomly sequenced questions which weren't like leading on to anywhere. Like you kinda need to lead off with one another. Like she's been there since 1920 and she's not spoke to anybody probably since that time. And folk are just shouting abuse at her, like, you know what I mean, I'd be like, just give me a minute, please, to gather myself. Like, so, well, at least she, like, it kind of confirms, I think it is a wee bit of a cool story, though, that it confirms that she was, like, an opera singer who fell off the stage and died at the Alhambra in Dunfermline. Like, obviously, we're from Fife, so we, like, I don't know, I think that's a wee bit cool. I think, oh, wow, that's, like, a cool, well, not a cool way to go, but, like, it's like, oh, wow.
A wee bit of space to the Alhambra.
I mean, that's what I got. It's probably one of the first cursed performances of many that have been at the Alhambra. Like, I was at the Happy Mondays there in 2019, and let's just say.
I did, like, look at the conclusion that they had in the report, and, like, you kind of, I'm like every episode, I'm like, no, I believe people, like, I really do, but, like, seriously, like, too many cooks, perhaps,
totally agree, and it's all the family dynamic as well, they're all trying to one-up each other. Like, if me and my mum were ghost hunters, I could tell you for one thing, she's saying she's seen fucking, like, a ghost moose, I'd be like, oh my god, I've just seen an elephant, I'd be like, I'm one-upping you today, couldn't it be done there? You know what I mean? Just too much family dynamics, too much drama in there, internal politics, and the ghost club,
personally.
I feel
like the women, like, especially Joan and Lynn. Like, Lynn seen something, Joan had to be like, no, I'm getting a feeling here. Like, I do genuinely think that the Alhambra might be haunted, and I could not, for the life of me, find any details on this opera singer up here for this.
By the way, I had a look, and I couldn't find, because I was thinking, well, look, we all know her name's Christina, but I couldn't find any other either. You'd think there'd be some sort of, like, American, like, Five Times report or something like that.
A record in the Dunfermline Press, perhaps.
They had mentioned by chance that this woman had fell off the stage and died.
I mean, this is what it's like when you or if you watch like Most Haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Or like Ghost Adventures or something like that. Like these like paranormal investigators are like they're like freaks, like for real. So it is a little like one upping each other and stuff like that. But they really did like try to. Like Derek set it up when he's like, aye, and she had like a fresh rose and she was wearing like this diamante necklace. So you're already thinking, like, oh, well, it's a fucking opera singer. So then by the time that Joan comes in with the pendulum, she's like, oh, it's an opera singer.
Anywhere.
Look at that. I'm getting opera singer.
Literally.
She's giving opera singer. I did think to look up like some other Fife ghost stories. Do you ken about the Blair Adam Beast at all?
No, I've never heard of that.
Obviously, Dún Maoí in Fife, I'm like quite close to Kelty. Kelty has like obviously a huge area of woods called the Blair Adam Forest, and it's always been a rumour that Blair Adam is either haunted by the spirits of an old miners in the area, because it's like quite a big mining area.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a picture on Google, if you Google it, like Blair Adam minor ghost, like you can see a ghost with like a guy in like a helmet that's got like a light on it and stuff, and it like looks like he's got like a pick in his hand. But there's another rumour, and Blair Adam's one of the places where the vibes are absolutely horrendous too. But if you walk through Blair Adam Forest, there's a big mural on a wall that say that has like a big Celtic cat on it. And the rumour is that Blair Adam's haunted or like stalked by a huge cat, like a panther.
By the
and it's
way,
called the Beastie Blair Adam.
By the way, I mind like that I've never seen any of this like since I've been older, but like when I was in primary school, I don't know if it was the same with you, but like you would see it would be on like not on the news, but like on like local news, like they'd be like, oh my god, this like 6 foot panther's just been spotted like roaming about this like wee mining, but like and like I lived in Cardenden, and they'd be like, oh my god, this like 6 foot panther's just like crawled across the train tracks in Cardenden, and like this like big beast is on the loose now. But like it's like that's what that's like giving me, like they're like, oh, it's haunted by like a big cat. Like you would always hear big cat stories.
Aye, well, I was talking about it with some, like a pal of mine, and they were like, oh, you sure it's not just a Scottish wildcat? And I was like, Scottish wildcats just look like really big house cats. Like, they don't even look like panthers. Can you not mind a couple of years ago there was a video in Rosyth or something, like, doing it at the dockyard, and there was a video of a huge panther just stalking, like,
literally
the fields and that.
Aye, that's literally, like, that would just, like, crop, like, these stories would just crop up. I think it was, like, slow news day, they'd be like, oh, let's just release another big panther story, and like it would just be somewhere random, and like it, like I remember that, and it was like in Rosyth, and it just like this massive,
like, it did look real. It looked like a panther.
I believe it. Like where else are they going to come from? Like it maybe it's just an untamed house cat, like one of the ones, like somebody's uncle brings him home like a cat, and then it grows too big, so the mum lets it out, and it's roaming about Rosyth. But I believe that that's real, like the one that was like in the side.
Is this just a Fife thing though? Like, can any listeners get in contact with me? Has your local area got like a big cat story, or is this just a Fife thing?
I feel like
also,
it's more widespread. I feel like there is somebody somewhere's got a sighting or a story about a big
green
cat.
Green at Catman.
The Green at Catman,
do you ken him?
No.
He's camp. I got, do you know ken who the Green at Catman
no,
is?
No.
Google it. Google that right now. Everybody go and Google Green at Catman.
What? This is not the man whose skin is black as gold. Each rat with his bare hands has been used to scare Greenock children since the 1970s. Oh, Christ.
He lives in the woods and he's a catman.
And he's actually just...
Aye. He's like a Scottish celebrity, the Green at Catman. He eats rats and scares children, that's his
literally
thing.
The photo is him sitting under, it looks like a bus, and he's like scranning a rat. He's just like somebody's da, just like, your dad's taking the divorce while he's sitting under the stagecoach bus with a rat in his mouth. That's what it looks like. Oh wow. But that is, put a photo of that on the Instagram, the Green at Camp.
I will. I had another message too, because obviously I was like gathering like Fife ghost stories and stuff like that, and a person who lived in Anstruther messaged, and they were like, oh, if you're looking for something more lighthearted, the fishing museum, he haunted wellies, and like the museum is haunted by like a few pairs of wellies. I'm being serious. And I was serious because I messaged this person and I was like, look, I'm thinking about phoning them. Like, are you taking the piss? Because I am going to phone. And I decided not to, but they replied and they were like, no, like, I lived there for ages and it was like certainly a thing. Like, they'd put the wellies like on the flare near the door or whatever, or like in whatever exhibit they were in. And then the next day, like, the folk who worked in the museum would come in and the wellies would be like up on the ceiling beams, like, all over the place. Like, they would just be scattered, these wellies. And it was phantom wellies in the Anstruther Fishing Museum. If anybody else can like corroborate that, because I never bothered to phone them, because I was like, I'm like, hiya, have you got like haunted wellies in your museum? And they're like, sorry, like we're going to send a like mental health check on you.
Okay, they're like, Mr. President, we've got them. No, that's cute though. We pair of haunted wellies.
Oh, aye, well, it is.
You should have phoned up for that, honestly. I think that you should have You should have phoned them, recorded it, and put it on the podcast. I think you should do that for the next one, just to see what they
just
would say.
Like the intro of me being like, "Hiya,
hiya,
he's got a pair of haunted wellies," and then it's just the line gone deed.
Has your museum got any haunted wellies? And then it just goes straight into the intro.
I'll do that. I'll phone them. I will. I'll try. But aye, that's 5 ghost stories. Potentially haunted Alhambra. I'm not quite convinced. I have been to the Alhambra, and because it's like an old building, and the inside it's like really, it is done up really broad and it looks old fashioned. I can see how you would be convinced that it would be haunted. I'm not quite confident that the ghost club, like...
I believe, though, if you locked me into the Alhambra, like, didn't it just myself, and it was dark, like, you would 100% be total spooked out. I get the vibes it's haunted, I think. I believe.
I didn't think everything that they're saying, like, no. I think if you get... It seemed like it was, like, a big group of madness that they were all experiencing.
Literally. The mass hysteria just took over, that's what
I... Aye, literally. This is the first time I've ever been on the podcast saying that I didn't believe this. But yeah, I can't be an advocate for the paranormal every single episode, so there we go. I'm, like, on my skeptical shit now, even though I've just told, like, several ghost stories about me as a child that, like... But if you say any other ghost stories in your local area, the idea is that the next time we cover this, like, local ghost stories, we'll do Inverness, because that's Liam's area of expertise. But we'll probably cover, like, everywhere. So, Ken, Aberdeen, Western Isles, Orkney, Shetland, everywhere. So if you've got any local stories or urban legends in your area, big cats, etc., please send them in via email at the Creepy Wee Podcast. Up the big cats. I want to hear more big cat stories. In fact, we'll just do an episode about big cats.
Give the people what they want. Big up the big cats.
So you can send them to thecreepywepodcast@gmail.com, or you can send them via DM on Instagram at thecreepywepodcast or Twitter at thecreepywepod. And then you can also submit forms on our website, thecreepywepodcast.co.uk. And the next episode we'll be doing, you'll be very pleased to hear, is Liam's going to be back, and we're going to do the Kelpies, but it'll no be for another few weeks yet, because Bexy's taking a wee sabbatical now that she's handled the podcast on her own for so long. So, I know, they'll do it again. Right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.